Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. Pastor Mike is away on a family celebration, and he'll be back here next week. So you get the, I would say B, probably the C team today. But but the Redskins already played, so we can just stay here till what, 1:30-ish or something. I just want to encourage you, if you have not been baptized, if you're a believer and you've never been baptized, take that step of obedience. You will be blessed in doing so. We will be encouraged by you doing so. The Lord will be lifted high and glorified by you doing so. And it's just a joyous time. And just listening to their testimonies and seeing these three kiddos take that step of obedience was just an encouragement to me. The Lord is powerful and reaches us in various stages, some this tall and some later. And so anyway, I just want to encourage you to give glory to God and take that step of obedience if you have not done that. My name is Tony Pedroni, and I am on staff here at Reston Bible Church. One of my primary roles is to oversee our shepherd group ministry. And a shepherd group is a small group of people, roughly 8 to 15 or so people, that meet 2 to 4 times a month for the purpose of to build relationships with one another, for the purpose of strengthening each other in their relationship with the Lord. And actually, our shepherd group mission statement is to know Christ and to make him known through loving one another in authentic Christian community. And we have roughly 60 shepherd groups located, meeting in various homes throughout Loudoun and Fairfax County. And even though being in a shepherd group, being in a community with brothers and sisters is one of the best things you could do to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, I am not going to make that push for you to join a shepherd group today. And I know it maybe sounds like I already did make that push, but that's okay. but I'm not going to make that push today. And I'll tell you why at the end of this service. I was just checking, and it's been a year and a half since I last preached here at RBC. And I was thinking, what did I say about Pastor Mike a year and a half ago? Anyway, it's been a year and a half, and what I want to do today, what I thought I'd do is just share with you what I would say is the main thing God's been laying on my heart, and he's been teaching me and speaking to me about over this last year and a half-ish, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you and beneficial as well. So let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can even gather. And Lord, thank you for these three kiddos who stood up and said, you are their God and they belong to you. Thank you for that salvation. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, I just even pray for anyone here who has not yet taken that step of baptism and declaring publicly that you are our God. I pray that they would even do that. And Lord, I lift up this time. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. You are the only one that has words of life. So Lord, would you speak to us? We ask in your son's name. Amen. I became a believer at the age of 20. And that was 34 years ago. And I know I do look like it was at least 34 years ago. When I became, at the age of 20, the greatest truth that God used to open my eyes and cause me to surrender my life to him was his great love for me. By far, it was the fact that he loved me so much and he died for me. And I remember being 20 years old and thinking, who are you? I don't know anyone that loves me like that. And I don't even know who you are. My mother, I knew she would love me. She loved me like that. But outside my mother, I didn't know anyone who loved me like that. And I was like, you telling me you died for me? I don't even know who you are. Who are you? I want to know you. And at the age of 20, I came to know the Lord. I gave him my life. And I would say, by far, for 34 years, it's the greatest love relationship I've ever had. And for me, the love of God is huge. It's just always been a big thing since 20 years on to today. And whenever I read Scripture, if Scripture is talking about the love of God, it's like those verses that talk about His love, they just jump out at me, and it just resonates with me. And in a way, it's almost easy for me to believe that He loves me. And I know that's not true with every child of His. I know some people struggle, do you really love me, Lord? Well, and I attribute that probably for my mother modeling that to me. But even if you struggle with that, He does love you with an everlasting love. And even the fact that you struggle with believing that does not even change His amazing love for you. And I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says this, the love of Christ compels me. It actually besieges me. It motivates me. And I resonate with that. I resonate with that. And I think of Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, Tony, nothing, absolutely nothing will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And these verses, they're easy for me to believe. And for the last 18 months or so, God has been showing me a different area of love and laying on my heart a different area of love. That's what I want to talk about today. And it started, I was 18 months or so ago, I'm reading through 1 Peter. And I'm just having my time with the Lord, and I'm just reading through 1 Peter. And I come across this verse in chapter 4. It says, love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm sure you've heard that before. Love covers a multitude of sins. I've heard that. I've probably read it a number of times. Love covers a multitude of sins. I've heard that in Christian circles. Love covers a multitude of sins. So I read that. But what jumped out at me was what it says right before that. And this is what it says right before that. 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. But what really jumped out at me was what it says right before that. And this is what it says right before that. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And I remember reading that thinking, above all, that's interesting. And the context of 1 Peter is relationships. Of 1 Peter chapter 4, it's relationships in the body. It's relationships with one another. He says, and actually even spiritual gifts. He says, show hospitality to one another. Serve one another with your gifts. But he said, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. I was like, okay, interesting. So that was that. A week later, I'm just having my time with the Lord again. I'm reading through Colossians. And I'm reading a section of Colossians. This is what it says. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And then I read this verse. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And this is a week later. So two times in 1 week, I see, above all. And the context again here in Colossians 3 is the body, relationships in the body. Bear with one another, forgive one another. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. It's like, it's almost like, Lord, not only do you highlight, but actually you elevate your command for us to love one another. I thought, is that true? So I start digging into the Word and looking up these verses on love. And over and over and over again, I see the Lord not only highlights, but he elevates his command for you and me to love one another. I'll give you a few of them. Matthew chapter 22. A Pharisee, scribe, lawyer, he goes to Jesus. He says, hey, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? What is the greatest? What's the great commandment in the law? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. And what Jesus is saying, hey, these two commandments, love the Lord your God and love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. This whole book depends on these two commandments. That's what he's saying. Everything flows from these two commandments. Everything hangs on these two. And then I read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Owe no one anything. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. And some people will take that verse out of context and say, hey, owe no one anything. You're not supposed to borrow money. You don't go in debt with money. That's not what that verse is saying. Not even close to what that verse is saying. What that verse is saying is this. Romans 13:7, the verse before. Pay what you owe. All that says, pay everything you owe. Romans 13:7. Pay everything you owe. Render taxes to whom taxes is due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Honor and respect to whom honor is due. Owe no man anything except to love each other. And what Paul is saying, what the Lord is saying is, hey, pay what you owe. If you owe taxes, if you owe somebody respect, pay them respect. Here's one thing you never get out of debt on. Owe no man anything except to love each other. Here's one you always owe. You keep owing. You're always obligated. Whatever that brother does to you, whatever that spouse does, you still owe to love each other. You never get out of that. That's what that verse is saying. John chapter 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. And by the way, that's the new part, as I have loved you. That's the new part of that command. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And the truth is, knowing Jesus' love, knowing God's love, enables us to love one another. That's where it all starts. And that's a whole nother message. That's a lifetime of messages, by the way, to know God's love. We love because he first loved us. Paul prays for us. He says, I pray, in Ephesians 3, I pray you would know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, the love of Christ, which surpasses understanding. Which, by the way, Tony, you'll never really grasp it all. But I pray you would know it, because experiencing his love gives me the ability to love one another. So Jesus says this in John 13, a new commandment I give you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Then he goes on, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Really? Really, Lord? By loving one another, by this shall all men know that you are my follower. Wow. That's pretty heavy. You want to talk about evangelism and a strategy? Let's grow in our love for one another. By this community will know. By this, my family will know. By this, these people who visit my house and sleep in my house for a while, they'll know that I belong to you if I love one another. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous love chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, the very last verse. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest is love. And over again in Scripture, God not only highlights, but he elevates his command for you and me to love one another. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to take a look at the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. And I've got it on the board here, but flip over, open your Bible if you want, if you have one. Here it is on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, first three verses, says this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Huh? Sometimes I'm brilliant, right? Sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. The context is relationships in the body. Relationships one with another. And specifically, the context is spiritual gifts that God gives to each of his children for the purpose of building up one another in our relationship with him. That's the context. And in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church is divided and saying, oh, I've got the best gifts and your gifts aren't worth anything and my gifts, and you know, I'm king of the hill, and all this junk is going on in 1 Corinthians. The eye can't, and Paul says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We're all members of one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We all need each other. God has given gifts as he chooses to build all of us up. When one suffers, we all suffer. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 12. So he's addressing it. And then at the end of 12, Paul says, let me show you a more excellent way. You want to talk about spiritual gifts and the ones you have and the you think they're the big ones and you got the little ones and yada, yada. Let me show you a more excellent way. And he goes right into chapter 13. And he talks about love. And he's still talking about spiritual gifts. And Paul, in these three verses, uses a figure of speech called exaggeration, hyperbole. He's exaggerating to make a point. And he talks about spiritual gifts First one, speaking in tongues or languages. Another word for tongue is language. Speaking in English and French and German and whatever. Languages. He says, you want to talk about speaking in languages? Let me tell you something, Corinthians. If I speak in every language known to man, and let me exaggerate some more, even languages that the angels speak, but I have not love for one another, it's a big zip in God's eyes. You're a noisy gong, you're a clanging cymbal. It counts for nothing if you're not loving one another. Let me go on. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I have the gift of prophetic powers, and I understand all mystery, and I have all knowledge, and if I have the gift of faith, and I have all faith. And by the way, there was only one who walked this planet that had all faith. And it's not you and me. But if I had the gift of all faith, so I could even remove a mountain, but I have not love for one another, I'm nothing. That's what God says. And he goes on. The gift of giving, some have the gift of giving. Let's talk about that. If I give away all that I have, here's my house, here's my furniture, here's my food pantry, here's my bank account, take it all. If I give all of it away, and let me exaggerate a little more, even if I say, here's my body to be burned, take it to the extreme. I give it all away, but have not love for one another, I gain. Now, it counts for zip. That's what God thinks of this. When I think of the one another's of Scripture, the one another's, I look at those as this is how you love one another. God says over and over, hey, love one another. Love one another. Yeah, I'm elevating this one. Love one another. Well, this is how you love one another. And I think of the one another's of Scripture. Here, I got this from some church. These are the 30 one another's. And by the way, the word one another is used roughly 90-ish times in Scripture. A third of the times, it's love one another. A third of the times that word is used, one another, love one another. So these are roughly the 30 one another's found in Scripture. And I would change this. I would put love one another in the middle, and the other one another, this is how we love one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We forgive one another. We rebuke one another. We confess my sin to one another. We're being kind to one, all the one another's. We carry each other's burdens. That's how we love one another. And here's the reality. Here's the reality. The more you know me, the deeper, more transparent our relationship is, the more effectively you and I will fulfill the one another's in each other's lives. The more effectively we will love one another. And what God does through that is he then strengthens us in our relationship with him. That's what God does. He says, love one another. This is how. Love one another. And by loving one another, he builds us up in him. The more you know what I'm going through, what fears I have, what anxieties I have, what I'm praying for, The more you know what I'm going through, the more effectively you can pray for me, you can encourage me, you can carry my burdens, and on and on and on. And that happens in relationships. And that's God's design for his body. That's how he wants us to function. And did I say, I'm not going to push you joining the shepherd group? I said that, didn't I? I'm not making a push to join for you to join a shepherd group, even though it's one of the best things you could do to strengthen your relationship with the Lord. Find a group. Well, I'm not pushing it. Okay. That's how God does. That's God's plan for his body. That's how he works. Let me give you, 3 months ago, my wife, Donna, a few months ago, in relationship with this lady, gone through her family, they're going through rough times, difficult times. Donna, her gifting, she gift to help, service, boom, she's quick to make a meal and take a meal over. That's Donna. So she makes a meal, takes this meal over just to bless this family, ends up sitting with the wife for whatever, a few hours. She gets this card. Dear Donna, thank you so much for your thoughtfulness in making dinner for us last week. It was such a surprise blessing after an especially difficult day and weekend. Listen to this. God used you to lift my spirit and remind me of his love and his care in a tangible way. Okay? What did my wife do? She took a meal over and sat with this lady. And what did God do? God used you to remind me of his love and his care in a tangible way. Oh, and it was delicious. That's what God does. That's what he does. That's why he tells us, love one another. Above all, love one another. Because it builds me up in him. That's what it does. That's what he does. You know, I may have shared this before, and I'm going to share it again because one of the toughest times I went through right after we came back from Croatia. 8 or 9 years ago, we moved back here, and I've got 4 kiddos, and all 4 of my kiddos were, it was a rough transition, and they were struggling. And struggling with fitting in, and I knew my 2 daughters were. I didn't know my boys were. And struggling with fitting in, one of my daughters was, I'm not even sure I'm a believer. And I was just, it was a hard time, tense time in the family, and manifests itself in so many ways. And I'm hanging out with a group of guys at that time, some believers, and so each week, get together, sharing prayer requests. Tony, what do you want to pray for? Pray for my daughters next week. Pray for my daughters next week. Pray for my daughters. And I think it was the 3rd week. This is what this brother says to me. And I had a lot of heat. We had a lot of relational capital. We know each other. He loves me. A lot of relational capital. He's invested in me. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my daughter. He says, hey, Tony, I see you as a great man of faith. Right? It builds me up. I'm like, keep talking, brother. I see you as a great man of faith. But I wonder, are you trusting God with your daughters? And I said to him, yeah, I think so, brother. I think so. Inside, this is what I said. What do you mean? Am I trusting God? Of course I'm trusting God with my daughters. How could you even think that? That's what I said inside. I leave his house that night. I'm driving home. And I confess and I repent. I said, Lord, I am not trusting you I have not been trusting you with my daughters. Here they are. I trust you. The Lord used a brother in my life because we had a relationship that we could be transparent. It was focused on the Lord. He used him to lovingly challenge and rebuke me, to show me a blind spot. And what did God do with that? He took me on a 180, and I repented, and he strengthened my faith in him. That's what God does when we love one another. That's why he says, above all these things, keep loving one another. You know, I want to encourage you with something I've been trying to practice for the last 18-ish months. And that's this. When you look at your daily life and you got your to-do list. Here's my list today, my to-do list. Add this question to your daily to-do list. Add this prayer, really. Lord, how do you want me to love this person today? Add that to your daily to-do list. Lord, how do you want me to love this brother today, this sister today? And when God shows you, when he gives you an answer, which he will, listen to him and just do it. Just do it. And that's something I've been trying to practice. Lord, how do you want me to love my wife today? And by the way, the answer today is different than it was yesterday. And it's going to probably be different than it was today. Lord, how do you want me to love my wife today? Go clean the kitchen, Tony. I got that answer. Lord, how do you want me to love my wife today? Give her a back massage with no strings attached. Lord, how do you want me to love my wife today? When she sits down next to you on the chair and you're on the couch with your laptop open, shut the laptop and talk to her. Lord, how do you want me to love this brother today? I want you to forgive him. I want you to go and confess your sin and ask for forgiveness. I want you to lovingly tell this brother, hey, man, you're heading down a road. Are you trusting God? This road looks pretty rough where you're walking. Lord, how do you want me to love this person today? And he'll give us an answer. And what he does when we listen to him is he takes us deeper into knowing him and trusting him. He strengthens our relationship with him. That's what God does. Amen? Amen. I told you that I was not going to make a push for you to join a shepherd group. Okay? I'm going to keep my word. Let me tell you why I'm not going to make a push. Because if I were to make a push, here's the truth. We don't have enough shepherd groups to handle what would be a typical response. We don't have enough leaders. So here's my push. We need more shepherd group leaders. We got people looking to join a shepherd group. And if I were to say, hey, encourage you to join a shepherd group, even though I didn't do that today, but if I were to say, sign up and join a shepherd group, wouldn't be able to handle it. We need more leaders. Here's my question to you. Does God want you to consider being a shepherd group leader? Does he want you to consider it? I want you to listen to a few of our leaders and hear from their perspective regarding leading a shepherd group.
blessing to me because it gives us an opportunity to form some really close, intimate friendships with some very special people and to help them grow in the knowledge of Christ. We've seen people in our group, including ourselves, grow in trusting the Lord. It's hard to do at times. It's hard to do a lot of the times. But we find ourselves growing more and more closer to Him and trusting that He will get us through the challenges we have.
Well, I would say one of the things I like about being a shepherd group leader is that it gives you kind of some validity with the people. I think one of the lies of the enemy is that we aren't supposed to intrude in people's lives. When, in fact, people don't want to face things alone. They want Christian brothers and sisters to go alongside them. So this gives you a right to be there with them, to be a part of their lives, to be on the front lines with them. And that means you're going to go through some difficult times, but it also means that you get to share the victories.
One of the things I struggled with was feeling like there were other people in the group that had a lot more biblical knowledge than me. They went to religious schools, colleges, they worked at churches, they've been in small groups their whole life, and I felt like, you know, I didn't have as much knowledge as them. I almost felt inadequate to be leading, but God shot through that feeling pretty quickly, and I just learned over time that it's not about if you're a leader. It doesn't mean you have to be an expert on the Bible or know everything. That it's very much a collaborative learning environment. A lot of times when people have brought up really difficult situations they're dealing with, we'll just, not knowing that we don't have the answers, we'll just stop and just pray with the person, join alongside them, and walk through it, knowing that we can't give them a one or two line feel-good answer, and knowing that's not our role anyway.
We all are doing life together, and we all go through difficult circumstances and situations, and just realizing that we don't have all the answers. And, you know, I feel like for my own self, it has really driven me to go to God more in prayer, just to ask Him for wisdom.
Ultimately, we're never really worthy to be leading. He chooses us, and we're called to be obedient to His calling and to lead. So knowing that leading a group is bigger than any one week performance that we may be having in our lives or we think we're at, that it's just about following and knowing that He's working through us regardless of our circumstances.
I've definitely been learning the importance and the need for just totally depending on the Lord and His strength. And I've been able to witness Him providing that strength in moments of weakness, in moments of not feeling like, you know, I'm up for the challenge that week. And it's been good to see.
Mm-hmm. Being a leader has really grown my love for God's Word, because as we've studied God's Word together, as we focus on God's Word as a group, I get to see its transforming effects on people's lives. I get to see the power that it has, the promises that give us life and hope. And I am reminded that the Word has everything we need to know Christ and to live for Him. So being a leader has really grown my love, deepened my love for God's Word.
The reason I really love shepherd groups is because it goes all the way back to the very, very beginning. Reston Bible Church actually came from a shepherd group. But through the years, I've developed so many relationships, had so much fun being a shepherd group leader or just being in a shepherd group. But here's my challenge. We have a lot of people right now that want to get into shepherd groups, but most of them are closed. We don't have enough leaders. We need some leaders. And there's going to be an orientation that Tony Pedroni is going to lead and teach on. And I'd like you to at least consider it. Don't just throw your hands up and say, oh, I can never do this. Consider becoming a leader. At least go to the orientation, get your questions answered, and God just might change your life through it.
If you have a heart for the Lord and a heart for His people, I want to invite you to join me next week for this one-hour orientation. It's during the second service. Here's info on the bulletin insert in your bulletin. You can register online, or better yet, right after the service, there's a table with our shepherd group booth. Just go on over there and sign up and join me next week. Somebody asked me, do you need women to lead women's groups? Yes. Yes. Do you need? Yes. Yes. We need more leaders. So yes to all the above. So join me next week if you even think the Lord, this may be something the Lord may want you to do. Join me next week. You'll get some more information, and I trust it'll help you to discern if it's the Lord's will for you. Thank you, and let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your great, great love. I thank you for how you call us to love one another and actually the things you do in our own lives through your people loving one another. Thank you, Lord, for how you just draw us to you. You truly are altogether lovely. You are the one worthy of all worship, glory, and honor. We love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.